as you rise, and you know they're going with to every ball there.
Now, standing game, you might replace over this place.
Yeah, good day at the office there. You know, she popped up with a very much needed point, which we really, really needed it.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again into the KCLR studios here for Come On Kind. This is season 6, episode 13. This is take 2, because we tried it already and I was so rudely interrupted by a producer that tried to put me off. It's not working, though. She's still here in the room at the minute, and I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by my co-host, who is laughing hysterically here around me to try. Mam and Dad, please don't fight. That is Anya Farrell. Hello, Anya.
How are we, guys? How's it going?
It's like the madhouse here today. I mean, did you have something in the tea or something before I came in here?
I think it's the hot weather. I think it's after driving everyone.
Is that
berserk.
What it is?
Yeah. I think we're like typical Irish. We're after losing the run of ourselves. It's so over.
Well, there's someone after losing the run of themselves, all right, I can tell you that much. Yes, this is episode number 13 with Come On Kind. It's hard to believe that we are on the 22nd of April already. The National Leagues are over. The Minor All-Ireland is starting. The Leinster Finals is coming up this weekend. The All-Ireland Series for Under 16 is starting in a week or two. The Minor All-Ireland Finals is coming up this weekend. And it won't be long until we're starting into the Club Championship season. But as we talk about the Minor All-Ireland Series, well, we are getting ready for it because Kilkenny was playing, as you heard, last week's episode against Tipperary at the weekend coming. We're going to talk maybe a little bit about that in a moment's time. But the Minor A Championship other semi-final was between Cork and Waterford. Anya decided she was going to go for Cork in this one last week, and I said, don't rule out Waterford.
Yeah,
we seen him playing last year. It was a repeat of last year's All-Ireland Final. And Waterford came out on top.
Yeah.
3-9 to 1-10. A great victory for him.
Brilliant victory for Waterford, you know, back to back All Ireland finals, and you know, that's really going to give it a spur on in the county as well. And I suppose, like, this time last year, we were probably sitting here talking about it, how much the Minors getting to an All Ireland final would give a huge lift to Camogie in Waterford, and you know, the seniors then went on to compete in their All Ireland final. But yeah, it's a huge honour and a great achievement for Waterford to get to a back to back All Ireland final. And you know, they certainly, I think realistically, if you were looking at the tables throughout the last couple of weeks, everybody would have fancied Cork going into this. They seem to be just that step above the majority of teams in the competition. But fair juice to Waterford, came out there, gave a cracking performance, and you know, got themselves well and truly into another All-Ireland final.
They certainly did. I actually text Sean Malloy, the Waterford chairman, after just to congratulate him. I had a sneaking suspicion this year that after last year's performance, and it was so tight for long periods, I felt Waterford left it behind them. Cork did go on and win it, but he was absolutely delighted that Waterford won, and they are in their back-to-back All-Ireland finals. Who are they going to be playing? Well, the other choice was Kilkenny and Tipperary. They played in Rathdowney over the weekend. It went to extra time. They couldn't be separated after full time, and unfortunately for ourselves, although Marion Graham will be delighted, it was victory for Tipperary.
Yeah, listen, it's obviously very disappointing from a Kilkenny perspective to be going out at this stage. And I suppose especially when the All-Ireland final is in your own backyard, you really do want to be, you know, getting to it and, you know, representing your county. But, you know, fair juice to these girls. I suppose Tipperary, very similar to Cork, would have certainly been, you know, tipped as one of the favourites for this championship. And I think, you know, or Kilkenny certainly going into this game, they probably were underdogs going in. Like, Tipperary had beaten him in the first game of the season, in round one of the championship. So I think, you know, going into this, Kilkenny had their homework done, but you know, Tipperary, I think, just showed that they were able to push on in extra time. And you know, there was patches there where you were kind of looking at Kilkenny, and you know, it was point for point really, and you just thought that Kilkenny were going to sneak it in the final couple of minutes there of normal time. But Tipperary coming back to get an equalising point to send it into extra time. Obviously, listen, it's disappointing for Kilkenny, but you know, these girls will see brighter days to come in the future.
Yeah, I suppose we did try to get David on this evening, but he was pre-engaged, unfortunately. For that, we did speak with him last year, and he had high hopes of going in against Tipperary at the weekend. I suppose from his point of view, and I'm not going to put words into his mouth or talk for him either, but from looking at the game, Kilkenny had an awful lot of missed chances in that game with the amount of frees that was driven wide, maybe the wrong shot selection that was in it. Like, if you put all those chances together, the score may have been different. And that's not criticising any individuals, because I'm not going to name names anyway, because I wouldn't do that here. But overall, for the team themselves, it was disappointment, because they definitely didn't convert the chances that they had.
No, certainly not. I suppose, listen, at the end of the day, it's an All-Ireland semi-final, and if you don't win it, you're obviously going to be very disappointed. But you know what? It's all on the day. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, the form, I suppose, coming into the game. Like, anything can change the day of an All-Ireland semi-final or an All-Ireland final. Both teams are there. They're there to give, you know, a display of camogie, and they're both there to you know, give it their all and try and push on for that 60 minutes or so. In this case, the extra time had to come into play here. But I think, you know, it will be disappointing for everybody, the management team and all. Like, they have a Leinster title in their back pocket. You know, they started off with a loss in the championship, but they really made grounds throughout the rest of the games, and they just seemed to be getting better and better as it went on. And probably Tipperary, as I mentioned, they probably would have been favourites for this championship. And I think, you know, Kilkenny and Tipperary, it always brings in that rivalry. We see it in the secondary school forms, like, you know, you had the school's final,
the Ursuline and Loretto.
In a school's final as well. So these two teams are certainly kind of, you know, they're probably very much familiar with each other. A lot of, you know, some of the girls would have potentially played with some of these Tipperary girls in the Ursuline. So, you know, they're going to be two teams that are certainly going to be coming up against each other in the near future again.
I don't know, could we say the Tipperary were favourites for this? I mean, you were probably looking at Cork, the way things are going and the way they were going through the group stages of it, and nearly they were top of the group, sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we had Dennis Kelly on with us last week as well, after Tipperary's fantastic victory over Galway in the National League final, and he mentioned two players. One of them was Caoimhe Staghlam and the other was Lucy Purcell, and both of them really did stand out for Tipperary at the weekend.
Yeah, and you know what? I suppose those two girls are definitely going to want to make some sort of a shout out to try and get in. Potentially, I know Dennis had said maybe potentially get in with the junior squad, but you know,
looking at them at the weekend, Dennis will be putting them on no junior squad.
He could be looking at them as well, and I suppose even just for a bit of, I suppose just a bit of experience, to even bring them in to be training with a senior squad, that would be a huge lift. And you know, it'll be very interesting. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of those girls are potentially going to push on, and I do think you're going to see a lot of the Kilkenny girls as well will push on too, to try and make their marks on an intermediate squad at some stage in the near future.
Well, I mean, when you have the likes of a player, and I mean, she was fantastic, Aoife McLaughney, on your backroom team, and in there as a coach, mm-hmm. and a selector, you cannot say how important that experience to young girls is going to be. The experience that she has of playing at the top level in Camogie, and instilling that, and the belief that she may have as well, coming from that background, into those young players. Like, you, if you were to able to bottle that, we'd be rich people.
Yeah, certainly. Listen, Aoife McLaughney has been a stalwart for Tipperary Camogie for so many years. You know, involved with the Silver Mines Club, she would have probably had a lot of these girls, you know, would have been familiar with them playing against a lot of them at club level. And then you've got Sheena Ryan in there as well with stats. You know, certainly Aoife will be absolutely delighted. I'm pretty sure that's her dad, Pat, as well, who's on the management team too.
Could be possible.
I'm nearly sure it's her dad, Pat. Like, and you know, there's another wealth of experience as well coming into that too. But yeah, Aoife, like, she'll be delighted with that. I don't think she's actually playing intercounty anymore. I think she's retired. But you know, she was a serious operator back in the day.
She was.
She really, really was, and she's been so.
She was a thorn in your side and many of our sides.
Yeah,
I can tell you
absolutely. And I think just having that, I suppose, you know, she'd also have a very good relationship with a lot of the girls as well, and I suppose it'd be nice for them too, and they would look up to her. Yeah.
Disappointment for Kilkenny, obviously, because the All-Ireland has been in Nowland Park with the last 2 years and we haven't been there. Cork and Waterford contested the final last year. Waterford and Tipperary is going to contest the final, mm-hmm. this year. Tipperary beat us last year, or this year.
Yeah.
Waterford beat us last year. Waterford Camogie is certainly on a high at the minute. Tipperary, mm-hmm. Camogie is definitely on a high, because the way things are going with the senior team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're certainly putting their hand up for an All-Ireland title this year. But for ourselves, like, where do you see us going at the minute, because I mean, okay, we are competing, we're getting to All-Ireland semi-finals. We did win the final back in 13, we won it again I think in 15 or 16, not 100% sure on that year, but then we won it again in 2021, it was during COVID anyway, I think. But the last couple of years has been a little bit barren. Yes, we are contesting All-Ireland semi-finals, but we're just not getting that edge and getting to the pinnacle and getting to those big days.
No, but I do think that we need to take the positives from it as well. I think, you know, certainly to be competing with the top teams, that's the aim. You know, narrowly beaten yesterday. You know, there could have been the smallest of margins was there. You know, it could have been the difference in a free in or a free out that could have, you know, we could have been here today highlighting for an all, getting ready for an All-Ireland final this weekend. I do think we are certainly going in the right direction. I do think our underage is, I do think there's a lot of really good young players coming through the four as well. And I do think that, listen, I think every team, every year it's always going to be a building block for them, and I just think it's about giving these girls the experience. Like, a lot of these girls are going to move up now next year into an adult inter-county setup, and having the experience of playing in an All-Ireland semi-final, I think that will really, really stand to them. Like, it's a pity obviously we didn't go that step further, but like, I think the main thing is that we are competing with the top teams, and I think that's the most important thing. We're not going out, we're not getting, you know, bet out the gate or anything like that. We are competing, and we're competing at a very high level as well. Like, and I think that's something that we certainly can take as a huge positive.
Well, I suppose talking about minor grade, is our under 17 development grade was playing in their final of that blitz type competition that was run, and it was basically an All-Ireland final as such for under-17s. We were playing Galway. Lost out, unfortunately, by 1 point. But you're dead right. There is a lot of young talent that's coming forward there for us. I suppose it's just to see how we can get that final little bit of an edge to get to the All-Ireland finals and start winning them and building that team up so that they can then progress onto our adult teams going forward into the future.
Yeah, certainly. And it's all about development. And I suppose the under-17s, yes, very in hard luck yesterday. Pity the fact that it was on the same time, day, as an All-Ireland semi-final. I think that was, you know, it would have been nice if they were on a separate day that, you know, the Kilkenny under-17 girls could have attended that game, supported their club mates, teammates. A lot of those girls would have probably been training together at the start of the year before panels were finalised. So, you know, maybe that's something we can look at in the future. But certainly I think we are definitely working towards a good setup. We're doing things right. We're competing with the top teams. And I think we're going to see a lot, like the developments from yesterday under 17, a lot of them now are going to step up into the minor ranks for next year, and they're going to have that experience that they're after gaining this year as well. And it's coming into that inter-county environment as well. It's training at a different level to what you're training at, what you're used to training at with your club or your school or whatever. It's giving that extra bit of competitiveness, that extra bit of professionalism, and I think you need to maintain that.
The 15 aside games, that's not what I'm trying to think of. The full half hour games, actually, instead of just a blitz format where you're only playing 15 minutes aside or whatever, it's so important to get that full game and actually have that competitive feeling of a full match against some of the top teams.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that if we can continue to compete against the likes of the Tipperary's, the Waterford's, the Cork's, the Galway's at that level, and I think, like, you know, Kilkenny are certainly, through all grades, would be classed as one of the top 3-4 teams in the country. And like, I think that's where we need to make sure that we stay in that position. Obviously, listen, you want to be number one, but that's constantly rotating every single year.
Of course,
it does rotate, but I think the main thing is to make sure that we keep our foothold into that top 3-4 positions and make sure that we are competing at the best. But that's also about having the right people in the right place as well, and making sure that the girls are going into a professional environment and making sure that we're giving them everything that they need. Because like, somebody had mentioned this to me the other day, Camogie has now gone into a professional sport nearly. Like, these are athletes that are training three, four nights a week, like between gym sessions, pitch sessions. Like, it is gone into a different environment.
Well, you certainly look at semi-professional anyway. Definitely, because we can't call it professional because they're not paid. But
it is like, it is.
I know what you mean.
We need to be looking at it, and we need to make sure that, you know, we're being, the girls are being looked after from a nutrition point of view, from a psychological point of view, from a training point of view. And to be fair, like for the majority, it is happening and it is working.
But this also harps back then to Linda Kenny and her group back to Congress about the meaningful playing time, because while you have a group of 30 players that's on a panel, like it's going to be great next year that you're going to have unlimited subs. Now, I don't think that you're going to be bringing on 15 subs in any kind of a game, and maybe panel sizes may have to be reduced a small little bit.
Yeah.
But like, for you take it on some of those panels, and I mean even on our own panels, say, like, there's a lot of those girls may have got no game time at all at any of the games, and it's so hard for them to try and come back and keep fighting as well, you know. And I'm not saying it's the same in their club, they might be some of the best players that's in the club, but you know, this report actually highlights how important, and that goes back to obviously your psychology as well, because if you're putting in the training and you're trying to burst a gut and get onto a team or try and get it, if you're not given a fair crack of the whip and you're not given a chance, well, how can you showcase your skills?
No, but I think that's also why the summer league that has been going on in Kilkenny at the moment, I think that's why that's very important for the likes of some of these players that potentially maybe haven't been getting game time to inter-county, that they are being released back to their clubs to play them, because it is important. Like, you know, you go back a couple of years ago, if you were on an inter-county squad, you more or less weren't really involved with your club until the inter-county season was over.
You could say 6 months of the year, you're gone.
Like, players were gone stale. Like, they were. But I think, like, you know, we're allowed to mention the player charter.
Yeah.
Yeah. The player charter, like, that, you know, Kilkenny introduced this year, I think that certainly has allowed girls to, you know, get back and get playing time with their club when obviously they're not getting game time with the inter-county squad. And I think that's really important, not just for the players themselves, but also for the clubs too.
Yeah. And actually, talking about that, we may try and get Teresa Elward, the chairperson of Kilkenny Camogie, maybe into us to chat about that, because that player charter is obviously separate to the player charter that has come out for the inter-county player from the Camogie.
Yeah.
Association. They're not tied in at all there. I suppose looking at the other game that's going to be in Nolan Park as well at the weekend is actually the Minor A Shield final, and that is going to be contested between Dublin, which I see here, because they bet Limerick 3:15 to 2:15, and the other team that's going to be taking part in it is Wexford.
Yeah, it's like a repeat of the league final.
Isn't it?
Weekend.
I mean, when is the last time we had a Dublin Wexford minor team, or minor All Ireland, whatever kind of a grade it is, but to have them as well as part of a double header, they're going to be two brilliant games.
Yeah, and nice to have two Leinster teams, you know, competing in it, considering we've two Munster teams in the Minor A Cup, and then, like, you know, you have two Leinster teams in the Shield final. Yeah, you know what, really good. And you can just see, I suppose, the work that's been done in both Dublin and Wexford when their adult teams are competing in the National League final. Finals, and then to have their minor teams competing in A Shield finals as well, like, you know, that's a huge addition and a huge bonus to both counties. And it's going to be a cracking game. And you know what, having the likes of a venue like Nolan Park for these games, that's huge.
Oh, sure, it's perfect.
That's huge for the younger players, like, to be able to say that they've played in an All-Ireland final in the likes of field like Nolan Park, like Semple Stadium. It's great for them, because, like, you know,
but I suppose
there's like playing in a county stadium.
Yeah, and I'm going to be a bit biased here, right? You bring that to Cork, you bring that to Semple Stadium or whatever, where you can get, I don't know, 40 something thousand into it.
You'll be lost.
Like, put even 2,000 or 3,000 supporters into that.
Yeah.
You really are going to be lost in it. You know, I mean, Nolan Park is like a cauldron, the atmosphere when you're inside. I mean, you take it, the Minor All-Ireland final last year, and Miss Effin Lil was at it because we were up in the press box and controlling things and doing all things, PA systems and the whole lot. The atmosphere was unbelievable. The Waterford support that they brought last year, the crowd, the whole, the banners, the cheering, like, I mean, it was unbelievable. And I think a venue like that is absolutely perfect for us. Wouldn't you not agree with me? You're going over there, go on. I have to turn you down now a little bit because you were loud on me the last day.
Oh, I apologise before I start.
It's
a great venue. It's an absolutely spectacular venue for small crowds, for big crowds as well, but for small crowds. And I think because the stands, even though they're not close to the pitch, they feel close to the pitch.
Oh, they're close enough now.
They are close enough, but it's intimate. It's a lovely venue, and it's a lovely venue to bring kids to a match. Yeah. It's a lovely venue to watch a match from.
Yeah. And I also think the fact that when you look at it, when you've got Tipperary and Waterford, it's smack bang in the middle.
In the middle.
It is, to be fair to them,
so there's no excuse.
Like, well, even you could say Dublin and Wexford is nearly smack bang in the middle for them as well.
Like, you look at, I suppose, let's look at it from a Tipperary point of view. The closest clubs would probably be, I don't know, Ballingarry, Girton, who, like, they're half an hour from Kilkenny. Then you look at the closest.
But even Thurles and them, like, you're not that far away from Kilkenny now.
No, definitely not. But I think certainly, like, it's a huge opportunity for parents and supporters of both Waterford and Tipperary to literally travel half an hour up the road.
Exactly, and Dublin and Wexford.
I'm going to go so mad I'm missing it, but we have our under 16 Leinster finals on the weekend.
That the train station is at the back of it.
Yeah.
It's only a short walk up.
And you can make a day out with Intermac Donagh Junction, walk around the shops, get your lunch, whatever, trot on up then to Nolan Park. And do you know what, it's safe up there as well, like, and there is ample parking as well, to be fair, like, well,
there is some places around
and loads of places, like, you have McDonough Junction, you have New Park Shopping Centre,
I think there's actually going to be a huge crowd at this game.
Yeah.
I mean, Tipperary's on a high.
Yeah.
Let's be fair, they're going to bring a crowd. Waterford
are
on a high.
Going to bring a crowd. Yeah. Waterford,
it's only
brought
down
a
the
crowd.
Road.
Yeah, but they brought a huge crowd last year anytime they were in it as well.
No, definitely.
But you take it, I mean, realistically, like, Waterford came in, I suppose, to be fair to them, and this has been respectful as well, they came in more hope last year of maybe beating Cork in an All-Ireland final. This year, they really have the belief that they can win an All-Ireland final. They've beaten Tipperary already in the group stages. Like, if ever you're going to win an underage All-Ireland title, they're looking at this one. And I can tell you now, there is going to be busloads by the dozens coming from Waterford to this
and I
game.
Think looking at the Waterford team, they've lost very few from last year's team as well. I think there's only, did they lose 4 or 5 maybe?
I couldn't tell you.
I wouldn't know the full team there now, but I mean, there's a lot of the names on this that I've actually probably refereed in Waterford as well. I mean, definitely I've done Alex Healy. I have done Holly O'Sullivan, which she got player of the match actually the last day in it. Cara Cantwell, I know I definitely have refereed. Abby
Maggie.
Burrows. Maggie Gostel is De La Salle, and I've done
she
her
was
several
definitely
times.
There
like,
last year.
Unbelievable. And then you have the girls from Butlerstown. Like, you look at the half forward line there. When is the last time you had 3 players from the same club? In a half forward line.
Brilliant, isn't it? Like, it's really, really good to see.
It's
like,
unbelievable. And of course, Emma Fitzgerald. I mean, there's a lot of them girls that I wouldn't know personally, but I've seen them on
the
pitch.
I think they've
like.
Only lost 3 or 4 from last year, if I'm not mistaken.
But anyway, I think it's going to be a cracking game. It's going to be a cracking doubleheader in Nolan Park at the weekend with the Minor A Shield, or the Minor A Shield final. Yes, I'm right in saying that. At 2:30, that is Dublin and Wexford in UPMC Nolan Park. And the big one, Waterford and Tipperary. And I'm still livid, I'm going to be missing it. UPMC Nolan Park at 4:30, which are...
You can't be in 2 places.
No. The joys of being
you
Leinster
weren't cloned
chair.
Yet.
No, there's enough for me to go around, but no, I can't do that yet. Right, that brings us then obviously to the other competition, because the B Championship, poor Carlo, again... they got to the semi-final like ourselves. They came up again a very strong Armagh team. Armagh is into the All-Ireland Minor B final after beating Carlo 4-12 to 2-13. But again, great work being done by Carlo. Great to see him getting to All-Ireland semi-finals, but just that little bit short.
Yeah, it certainly is. And listen, it's another big achievement for Carlo Camogie as well, again competing in an All-Ireland semi-final. That's, you know, I suppose that's the aim, and they've got there. And they're just going to have to go back, do a little bit more work, and then push on again for next year. I think that'll be really, really important for them. But I think they can hold themselves. They can be very, very proud of, you know, the way that they've been competing in this. And you know, it's only a matter of time before we see Carlo winning a minor All Ireland, and it's going to be really good for the county. They do an awful lot of work down there, and you know, they do things. They're big into their underage squad, their underage development, and you know, competing in All Ireland semi final. That's no mean feat at all.
It's not. Sorry, I'm just taking a drink. The joys of reading news all afternoon is making me mouth dry. So Armagh march on to the All-Ireland final, where they will come up against Kildare, because Kildare had a big win over Kerry, 5-11 to 1-8. I did say this to you after the Leinster final, this Kildare team is very, very good.
Yeah.
and it's going to be a cracking game. And we'll look at the fixtures for that in a minute to see how things are going. Where am I moving to now? The minor C All-Ireland final. Wicklow and Tyrone in the semi-final. Poor Breeda Donnelly will be very disappointed in one way, but happy in another way that Wicklow are competing very well. Tyrone out on top there by just 2 points in that one. So they'll march on to the All-Ireland final, where they will meet Tyrone. So, no, Tyrone bet Donegal. That was round five. I can't see the other semi-final in that, Anya. Can you?
Wicklow played Tyrone and Cavan Mayo.
I don't have a result for Cavan Mayo.
It's the other one anyway.
I definitely don't have a result for Cavan Mayo. Maybe it's not up yet, or maybe I'm looking at the wrong one, but do you know who won it?
I don't.
Mayo did. I can see it here. They're in the championship final against Tyrone. So, yeah, Mayo versus Tyrone. And in the Shield final, great to have Westmeath in it as well, because they are going to be playing on Sunday against Meath. So we have a doubleheader in Nolan Park on Saturday and a doubleheader in Kinnegad on Sunday. So let's start from the top. Dublin and Wexford. Who's going to win?
Oh, ding, ding, ding. I'm going to go Wexford.
Okay, well, they're certainly on a high, and it will be payback, I suppose, in one way for Dublin's late snatch victory in the Division 1B league final that they only played in Carlow a couple of weeks ago. The big one, Tipperary and Waterford, minor A final. Who's going to come out on top?
Do you know what? I'm going to give the nod to Waterford on this one.
Oh, good woman. I'd be saying the same thing myself. Shawnee, if he doesn't win this one, I'm not going to text him. If he does win it, I'll probably be the first fella to text him. He mightn't get out of Kilkenny. They'll be celebrating so much, but I suppose I'm living on the border to Waterford. I'm not going to mention anything. I'm shouting for both Dublin and Wexford this weekend coming. So you're going Wexford, you're going Waterford, so you're going with the two W's.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep with the W's then, with the Shield final on Sunday, Meath and Westmeath?
Do you know what? I'm going to go with Westmeath.
Simple as. Yep. That was short.
Simple as,
right.
Nice and sweet.
Mayo and Tyrone, I can't say we really know much about them,
no,
but the results.
Tyrone.
Coolio.
Yeah.
And the Minor B Championship final, Armagh and Kildare.
You know what, I'm going to go with the Leinster contingent in Kildare.
I'd be shouting for Kildare anyway. Sorry, Rosemary, I know you're Armagh and we love you up there as well, but Leinster, you know, and all that, we can't change our spots. We always have to support our own. So yeah, and I'm going to run down through these as well, because you know we need to give the details. So Saturday the 27th, as we did say, the Minor A Shield final will be between Dublin and Wexford, 2:30, as I said, in UPMC Nolan Park, followed by the Minor A final between Tipperary and Waterford at 4:30, also in UPMC Nolan Park. Best of luck to our match officials as well, because I think this is the second year in a row that Gavin Dunnigan has refereed the Minor A final after doing it last year as well. He loves coming to Kilkenny, does our Gavin. But the very best of luck to him, and also to Carl Collins from Galway, who was doing our semi-final with Tipperary. He was the man in the middle for the league final between ourselves and Cork last year as well. Actually, I think he'd done it 3 times last year between the same team. So the best of luck to Carl in that one. The Minor B Shield final is the first one in Kinnegad on Sunday. That has a 1 o'clock throw-in between Meath and Westmeath. And my good pal from Antrim, Paul O'Neill, is the man in the middle on that one. The Minor C Championship final then is down for Drumlane in Cavan. 2 o'clock start for Mayo and Tyrone. And Dublin man Simon Redmond is the man in the middle for that one. And the Minor B All-Ireland Championship final then between Armagh and Kildare is also in Kinnegad. Enda Lochnan, and I think Enda is actually a Galway man as well, if I'm not mistaken. Enda, if you're not, I do apologise, but I think you are. But the very best of luck to all of our match officials, to all the Leinster teams, and to everybody as well, because even if the Leinster teams doesn't win, it's great to get to an All-Ireland final and just enjoy the day. That's all I will say to you. Leinster Under 16 finals will be coming up as well at the weekend. Kilkenny will be competing against Dublin in the Rhine A and the Rhine B final. there you go. Both teams in it. They are taking place on Sunday in Netwatch Training Centre in Fenna. And if I'm not mistaken, the B final has a 11:15 throw-in, while the A final has a 12:30 throw-in, if I'm not mistaken. The C final will be between Kildare and Dublin. So the very best of luck to everyone there. And isn't it terrible now that I cannot tell you off the top of my head who the other teams that was playing in it, and I did have my notepad around, and wait until I see, because I had fixtures on it from the other night. Let me see if I still have it. I don't. Well, I know Carlow and Laois are playing in the Minor A plate final. I do know that. Offaly and Wexford are playing in the Minor A Shield final. Oh God, lads, I do apologise.
It's just not good enough.
It's not. I've so many things on my mind now at the minute. I need help. Where am I? Leinster Executive. Where are we? Please help. I'm on podcast and can't remember fixtures. Now, how much of an idiot does this make me look like? So somebody can get back to me on that ASAP, please, and stop making me look like a right clown here. I should write these things down really before I come in. I do know that Westmeath and Meath is definitely involved in it as well, somewhere along the line. Wicklow is also, I think, involved in a final. God almighty, somebody come to me, aid quickly. Anyway, Anya, moving on swiftly. Can we move on swiftly?
Yeah, we'll move on.
That is about it, I think, coming up for the weekend coming. The Under-16 All-Ireland final won't be long about coming around. That will be starting on Sunday the 5th of May, which is the following weekend. The Leinster Senior Championship will also be on that bank holiday weekend as well, mm-hmm. with the matches on the Saturday. Isn't it terrible when you want somebody to get back to you straight away, nobody does it. I'm disgusted. I'm shocked. Ah, lads. This is terrible. But brain freeze and brain fog is absolutely terrible. And now I know exactly what it feels like. You see, when you want something, the secretary is always on hand. Thank you very much, Kira. So, Saturday the 27th of April, this is Laois versus Carlow. That is going to take place in Bunclody at 11 o'clock in the morning. Then in the afternoon in Rathlege in County Laois, we have the minor, or the Under-16 C Shield final between Wicklow and Meath B. That has a 4 o'clock throw-in. The B Shield final is Westmeath and Kildare A. That has a 4:15 throw-in currently at the minute, and the A Shield final is between Wexford and Offaly, and that has a 5:30 throw-in. And as we said earlier, the cup competitions then is between Dublin C and Kildare B. We may have an issue with that at the minute, but currently it's down for the Sunday in Fenna at 11 o'clock, with Kilkenny B taking on Dublin B in the B Cup at 11:15, and the A Cup is Kilkenny A versus Dublin A at 12:15, and those games on Sunday is in the Centre of Excellence in Netwatch Training Centre in Fenna. So the best of luck to everybody involved there, and the best of luck to the Under-16 teams from Kilkenny as well. Anya, how do you think our Under-16 teams are going to get on?
Yeah, you'd be expecting two victories definitely for both teams coming up this weekend. Some really, really good players coming through the four on both teams, and you know, some exciting prospects. So I would be certainly expecting two Kilkenny victories anyway.
Carlow and Laois, they played one another in the group stages already in this one. It's great to see Carlow in the Ryan A, first time ever. Yep. They beat Wexford, they got a couple of points on the board. Can they put that experience of beating Wexford and try and beat Laois at the weekend? Because while it's great to have Laois playing in Ryan A as well, I mean, the boost that it would certainly give Carlow would be unbelievable.
Yeah, certainly. There's certainly no reason as to why they can't pull a victory out of this one. You know, the minors have to get into an All-Ireland semi-final, and you know, we've mentioned already, Carlow Camogie doing very well at underage. So yeah, I'd be looking at Carlow for that.
Oh, Kira, you're a lifesaver. Thank you so much for that. Right, I think that brings us to all of the fixtures that's coming up for the weekend coming. We're not going to preview anything coming up for the bank holiday weekend because we will be doing that next week. All the under 16 competitions, we hope we'll have a roundup coming from them from the weekend as well. But other than that, I really don't think there's anything else that we have. Do you have anything else that you...
I don't, no. No, all good.
Any burning issues anywhere?
Loads, but sure.
Come on, get them off your chest there now.
I know, it's okay.
See, when you turn to the producer on your left-hand side, you always get told what you should be doing. And I did nearly forget it. But yes, the John West County Faila competition took place in Kilkenny over the weekend with the Ryan A and the Ryan D competitions in it. The bad weather really has hampered this and the amount. I have to give credit to all of our referees at the weekend. It's not easy doing boys matches in the morning time, then going out and doing Faila matches in the afternoon and towards the evening time, and then going out later on in the evening time and doing adult or underage camogie matches as well. So fair play to everybody involved. But our A final for the second year in a row is going to Bennett's Bridge. They beat Carrick Shock in the final. Scoreline there, 2-2 to Bennett's Bridge, 5 points to Carrick Shock. Well done. And all of the commentary that's coming back is that it was a great final. That was played in Clara, and I passed by it in the KCLR OB unit yesterday, and it looked smashing in the sunshine. So well done to everybody involved there at the weekend. And the Ryan D final was between Blacksham Whites and Ballyhale, with a very happy senior Kilkenny hurling manager at that game as well, because he had a daughter playing on it, and Blacksham Whites won on a final scoreline of 1-5 to 1-4. So Chap and all of the Blacksham Whites girls, fantastic victory there. Well done. It's great to play Faila. Did you ever get a chance? Now, I know we had Faila in Kilkenny a number of times. Did you ever participate in Faila yourself?
Yeah, years ago.
Come closer and tell us about it.
No, like, I actually can't remember it, to be honest with you. It was years and, like, just, you know, not that long ago.
I really love contradicting yourself there, not trying to make yourself look as old as you think you are.
Yeah, like you're talking what? Oh my God, nearly 23 years ago. Yeah, because it was under 14 at the time.
It was?
Yeah, it wasn't under 15. I think we actually went up, should we go up to like Athlone or I don't know where we went at one stage.
It was actually under 13, was it not?
No, it was definitely 14. The John West Faila was always 14. They changed it then during COVID because teams were after missing out on it and went to 15. And now they're actually keeping it to under 15, which I think is actually working out quite well for a lot of people. Well, under 14, you're using 13-year-olds and possibly under 12s, which are a bit young. You'll go to 15s, you then have 15 and 14-year-olds. So it's pretty good. But I think what's lacking, though, and we're trying to bring it back, and I can say this because she won't mind, I'm trying to have a meeting with the Camogie RDO, Michelle Ford, who is the Leinster RDO as well, that we're trying to bring back the skills competition because we find it's lacking. And a lot of teams around is actually the fundamental skills are missing from a lot of players.
Yeah,
big time. We're going to try and see if we can resurrect the Leinster Skills Competition back up again because we miss it. It's a pity the All-Ireland one. And again, the same thing had happened during Faila and during COVID. It all fell asunder. But
it was a great competition, an inter-club competition, because they had to have their best person. I remember we did it in Nolan Park a few nights, remember?
We did.
Back in the day. Mm. And it was great. And you had the whole length of Croke Park to do, Nolan Park to do the skills.
Yeah.
And it was great. And a lot of skills. And funny that you mentioned skills. We had to talk for the under 14 and the under 15 development girls and their parents on Friday night, where we, Marie Kennedy, one of our intermediates, came and gave a nutrition talk. She was excellent. Mick Muldowney gave a talk on fundamentals and the basics, and he just passed the comment, and we've noticed it ourselves, the amount of kids that can't skip at the minute is quite frightening, because it was something that we all did as kids and climbed trees and jumped and hopscotched and all of that. And the amount
now, in a way, if you analyse that, it sounds funny. But realistically, when you look at it, the truth behind that, that a child can't skip is actually a little bit staggering and frightening.
Yeah, it is. And they don't have the coordination. Like, skipping was great for strengthening your wrists.
But so that's why all the boxers do it.
Yeah.
Because it is great for hand-eye coordination.
And they can either turn the rope with their wrists or jump over the rope, but they can't do them simultaneously.
Yeah.
There's actually, I was watching Ireland AM recently, actually, and there's a guy up the Midlands somewhere, and he has his own company set up, and he actually goes around to clubs and schools, and that's his job, teaching people how to skip. I thought it was quite amazing, and he's making a living out of it, and he goes around and he shows them, and he was phenomenal. Yeah. If you can find the clip with Alan Hughes and Tommy Bowe, it was very funny, but Tommy Bowe was excellent. Alan got a little bit tied up, but like, it kind of bought
no pun intended.
It just proved the point to me that you know, they can't skip all the basics, but maybe we should be bringing skipping ropes to training one session a week or half session a week and just seeing for the coordination.
Actually, now that I have the two of you there, and I mean, we were looking for something, talking about skills and the whole lot of the game, right? We know where the adult game is going. Skill-wise, underage level, and that at the minute. Like, where do we see teams and the players themselves when it comes to it? Because, like, a lot of the matches that we've seen is fairly competitive, and then there's a couple of matches that I go and see, and there's some of them, and they can't rise a ball, or they have to stop and roll if the ball, which I know is Paula Dowling's pet hate when you look at it. Like, where do we see the game itself at an underage level at the minute compared to where the adult levels are?
Right, I have a thing on this. So I think certainly a lot of our younger players, they are skillful, right? But I think that they're watching so much, like, and obviously, like, we all did it when we were younger. I think the adult game has evolved so much, both for men and women. It has evolved so much that their skill set is, for some of them, is just out of this world. Like, these backhand passes, these, you know, flicking the ball over the head. And I think our younger players are trying to replicate that.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes so hard to do that, they forget about
the basics.
And actually, that's surprising that you say that, because I was actually working yesterday, and I was at the Provincial Towns Cup final above in Carlow Rugby Club yesterday that Tullow and Ashbourne were playing. And while it was amazing to see, and I don't get too many live rugby matches because it always clashes with something else, but half time, and I heard actually Brendan Hennessy talking about this as well, that all the boys and the girls were out in Salt Hill poking a ball around at half time during the game yesterday above in Tullow to the rugby ball, because you had all the rugby lads in it. And the very same thing that you're talking about right now is, you could see the lads and they were just throwing a ball over and, you know, putting the spin on it and trying to get it and doing a bit of kicking. And then you had a couple of the others that was trying this ridiculously backward pass that you'd see Bundiaki or someone at Irish international level trying to put it 50 yards across the field when, you know, he's under severe pressure and the whole lot. And we had young lads trying that, and it's actually very interesting that you say that, because obviously when you're looking at a sport and your icons that's playing at elite level, which the Irish rugby senior players would be, and our elite players, which would be the senior camogie women as well, that people are trying to emulate exactly what's going on there.
Yeah, sure. And that's completely natural. Like, you know, that's going to happen. Like, if you're looking up to somebody, of course you're going to try and replicate everything that they do. Like, you look at the amount of hurlers and the camogie players that have gone through the years. Like, you know, the younger generation, they'd be always looking up to them, be always trying to copy them. Like, I think there was one thing, and sure, like, you know, when the sideline cuts at one stage took a huge, you know, every young lad in the country was trying to take a sideline cut like Joe Canning. That's all they want to do. Next thing you think was a Keane Lynch did a backhand pass in a match,
and then they were all trying that.
You have these young lads, like I see it in my own club, the young lads running up and down the field and they're trying their hardest to do this backhand pass, like, you know, it's because they're so impressionable. Listen, it would be worse if they weren't even looking at the match, or if they weren't.
Oh, no, that's very true.
The problem is they're forgetting the basics in trying to do the.
But you know what? Sometimes I do think because they try to, like, master the difficult one, that they will that they're going to conquer the easier one easier, because like they've their mindset up on like they need to be that step ahead, or like, because young lads these days they're so like driven, and young girls as well, I think they're just so driven to be the best at everything that they can be, and like they always want to be, you know, impressing and doing these new skills because it's like it's a thrill for them. And like I do think, like, yes, we obviously have to go back to the fundamentals, and yes, listen, don't get me wrong, like there are, you know, some
but
kids,
you have to be practicing them all,
yeah, but
equally.
I think that's where our coaches come into play, like, mm-hmm. I do think, like, you, like, let's be fair, like we're not going to underage training and watching our coaches show our young players how to do a backhand pass, like, you know, they're doing the proper hand passes or whatever, it's whatever.
But realistically, like, Joe Canning didn't just learn how to cut sidelines one day and come along, he practiced
hours and hours and hours.
Keane Lynch is probably hand passing a ball the same as the handballers, and I've seen lads doing this off the gable end of a house with a slitter in a hand, and even maybe two balls or a tennis ball is what a lot of lads started out with, and getting the hand, a bit like the skipping, the hand-eye coordination going. Yeah. That's where they learn it. And then you develop the same as the rugby boys, that unbelievable skill that you can then do a pass like that. Like, I mean, you have to have a fundamental force before you can do something like that, but that all comes with practice. But you're dead right. It's nice to see people doing that and being, I suppose, not sitting in front of a computer and looking at something as they're out in the open. I mean, it was great yesterday to see the kids out at the rugby game. It was great to see them out in Salt Hill with
Wexford
the crowds
Park
that was coming.
As well.
Wexford Park. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah,
and it's nice to see that. So I remember being at a match in a venue, I won't say where, last year, and it was a final, and
get off the pitch,
not allowed on the pitch. There was one person standing beside me, and her husband was playing on a team that had won, and they wanted to give their couple of months old child to said person, and they were told no, like, because there was nobody allowed on the field.
Yeah.
I think that's really sad, and I think that takes away from the overall enjoyment of, like, you know, these big games. And I think, like, I love to see at halftime, I love to see like a load of kids just congregate on a field. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Now I know it's probably a headache for the stewards trying to get them off before the team comes out, but I do think it's a tradition that's part of the GA and the community.
Totally agree
and the
with
GFA
you.
And
the problem with that tradition is now is everybody is looking at health and safety.
Yeah,
and
no,
something going on, and then
plus
when the problem
looking
is
at the surface of the pitch, if it's after being particularly wet.
Well, I can
I
understand the pitch.
That. I do appreciate that.
But when it's not
wet. Oh yeah, health
wet.
And safety is the bigger,
I just think, I just think it's a lovely, like, we all used to do it when we were all younger. Like, the very minute half-time game, like, we were all down waiting by the fence, waiting for the gates to be open, like, jumping over fences, going out into the hurling field, you know.
Like, you
just
look at it all
the
over the weekend, where would you get it? I mean, you're a soccer player. Mm. You're segregated. You can't have the fans together.
Yeah.
You can't get near the players because there's so much security around the place.
Yeah.
You look at the weekend, as soon as the final whistle blows, the referee has gone down the tunnel. The best of times, if lads are looking for him, you know, most of the time they're okay. But the crowds just straight onto the pitch, all the young lads, jerseys out, hurls out, pen in hand, please sign.
Yeah.
And that could be a Kilkenny player with a Tipperary fan trying to get a Kilkenny player. I mean, everyone runs to TJ.
Yeah.
Everybody runs to David Clifford, no matter where you're from.
Yeah.
I mean, we really have the uniquest of sports on that sense that you can actually interact with everybody. Yeah. Like, I mean, you could have
and
a Tipperary
have
and a Kilkenny fan
players
sitting beside one another. Mm.
But we have unique players as well who don't have an issue with standing around after playing for 60 or 70 or 80 minutes and signing hurls and signing slitters and signing jerseys. And they enjoy it as much as the kids.
I see poor David Clifford, he was up in Roscommon there a couple of weeks ago. He actually had to run off because I think he was about 40, 45 minutes at that stage. And there must have been at least another 100 to 150 kids around him, like, trying to get off.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness to the poor chap, like, you know. But the majority of people do not have an issue with that. But I think it's a tradition that we don't want to see kind of wasted and gone and got rid of. Just that once it's all been done safely, I think it's good for the game.
And it's like all things, Martin, it's a couple of bad apples have spoiled the whole scenario on everybody else.
Yeah. It is, but it
because
is
of this society
tradition.
We live
it is
in.
Brilliant yeah. tradition, and we don't want to lose that because, yeah. as I said, mixing. I mean, 80,000 fans going down Jones's Road, whether you're after winning in All Ireland or losing in All Ireland, and you can have
the
a Cork fella shouting and roaring, and a Kilkenny fella giving banter back, and it's unbelievable. The other thing is, and I don't normally bring news items into podcast etc, but I suppose it is becoming a bit prevalent now at the minute, and I actually see this all over social media as well, is the fact today that underage people, social media, sexual images appearing all over the place on different websites and the whole lot. I've now seen people putting it up in the dressing room. Mobile phones are not allowed in yeah. the dressing rooms.
Mm-hmm. But that should be just a given.
Well, it's not, unfortunately.
Well, it should be just a given, but if I had a spray for common sense, I'd be a wealthy woman.
Yeah, but okay, right, hold on. No, sorry. I understand, like, nobody should be in a dressing room taking videos or pictures or anything like that. I understand somebody going into a dressing room with a phone, like, because obviously, like...
Yeah, but keep it in your pocket or keep it in your
yeah,
bag.
But yeah, but, like, and that's fine, but, like, I don't think anybody should be taking pictures or photos in a dressing room. You know,
it goes definitely on, unfortunately.
Yeah. But listen.
It could be innocent.
It could be
a Snapchat yeah. or something like that, that you're in it, but somebody else is in the background yeah. and in lies the problem. Because I know recently we've had this debate as well about a certain team and getting photographs taken. And there was one team in particular that the parents did not specifically want her child in
yeah.
any
That's
photographs
becoming a big thing.
Whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was big issues around that as well. So, you know, I think
it could be that you're somebody like me who's as blind as a bat and has to hold the phone completely up in front of my face mm-hmm. to read what's on it. But yeah. it looks like I'm taking a photograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, best practices.
It's just in the era and the age that we're in at the minute. Yeah. It's sad it's come to this little.
It is actually, but most of the leisure centres in the country have banned mobile phones in their facilities as well because various different things yeah. went on up and down. So I think clubs need to cover themselves and just
mm-hmm.
ban them. You know, well and good, bring them if you need them, but leave them in the bag, or if you're a mentor, keep it in your back pocket, or keep it. Don't be caught doing something stupid or looking like you're doing something stupid.
And I'm going to finish on a happy note, because after all the complaints that we've had and the bad weather and pitches being flooded and the poor farmers couldn't get out and the cows and the cattle and the sheep and the whole lot are still in the shed.
We couldn't get out ourselves, not to worry about the cows and the cattle.
The hurlers and the Camogie women are back out on the pitches. The pitches are becoming harder, they're in good condition, and it is great to see kids out and about at long last.
The pitch in Rathdowney yesterday looked spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you believe it, even when I was on inter-county duty with Gavin at some stage, we were playing games in the Welsh Cup in Rathdowney when no other pitch in the place was playable.
Well, it was absolutely spectacular. Now, I didn't obviously walk out along it, but the grass verge and all of that was solid enough. Mm-hmm. And I see kids lying out on it, so it couldn't have been.
Yeah, no, lovely
that
venue.
Down, but it was lovely venue.
But no, it is great.
And loads of parking around it.
Yeah. Yeah, plenty parking around the streets and that. But it is great to see the sunshine back. It's great to see the pitches in it. And long may it last, ladies, for a while, because it'll keep the club players going for a while the intercounty is on. We might get a little bit of a tan as well, which we could all do with a bit of sunshine. But as always, and I'm going to be the grummock as always, just be careful. You know, make sure that you put the suntan on and don't get burnt.
The hat out, you'd be delighted to hear yesterday.
Well, actually, poor Oisín Langan got roasted up at the rugby match yesterday. God help him. But it is great to see
you
back.
I could have sold the hat yesterday. I was asked so much about it.
Anyway, it has been a pleasure as always in your company. We look forward to next week. We look forward to a great weekend of Camogie action. If you're going to the All-Ireland Finals in Nolan Park, do enjoy them. If you're going to Kinnegad at the weekend as well, do enjoy them, or any match for that matter, whether it be club or inter-county. We are certainly going to enjoy them. Best
and
of luck.
Sorry, Martin, to cut across you, as always. Just because Kilkenny aren't in an All-Ireland Final at the weekend doesn't mean that clubs can't come and bring some of their smallies or juvenile teams in to look at two great games at Camogie and Nolan Park at the weekend.
Well, as we always said, and we had our Uachtaráin on here a couple of weeks ago, if we can't support our own, well, who's going to support them? But it is going to be a busy weekend. Best of luck to Kilkenny under-16 teams out in Fenna at the weekend as well. We will be covering that next week as soon as we get back. The seniors will be out on the bank holiday weekend, so only two weekends before we're back into full inter-county action again. But from three weary and hyper people here in the studios in KCLR, I think it's time that we sign off for this evening. Wish you a very happy week, and we will chat to you again very soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Their physicality rise, and you know they're going with them to every ball there.
Outstanding game, you might have played so far. This pays
off. Good day at the office there. You know she popped up at a very much needed point where Kilkenny really needs it.
This is Come On Kind with Martin Quilty and Anya Fahey.